Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Deceptively Athletic Podcast. I am Tony Romanello, and with me, as always, is Mark Jakowski. Mark, how are you this evening?
Pretty swell. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. Marshall Hartman. Marshall, how are you?
What's up, man? Dude, it was supposed to snow this weekend. It's like 15 degrees here. I'm so sick of it, man. Just bring on some, like, I'll take, like, 40 degrees right now. It's like, it gets so cold here at night. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're still in winter mode here in Pittsburgh too. I'm sick of it too. I'm ready for it to be warm, for Christ's sake. Yeah. And we got Greg Stefanik coming from the rainy city of Seattle.
What's up? I like the annual or the weekly update on the
Weather in Wisconsin.
The weather in Wisconsin, it makes me realize how nice it is here.
It's still cold. It's still cold, let me tell you. It's still cold.
It is. Yeah.
A couple months.
Yeah, I like it, though. I like that we get to hear that it's still snowing every week. It's awesome.
Can't wait until, like, June, and Marshall's like, damn, guys, it's still snowing here.
Oh, my God. If it's snowing in June, dude. Oh, that'd be so awful.
Alrighty, but anyway, to get to what we're going to talk about today, we're going to do our end of the season NBA award picks and all NBA teams. So, what category do you guys want? What do you guys want to start out with? You want to start out with MVP, just go straight for the big one, or you guys want to work our way up?
We can start with MVP.
All righty, let's get started with MVP then. Well, I'll just say, does anybody have?
And James Harden, congratulations!
I was going to say, does anybody have anybody other than James Harden?
No.
No.
I mean, LeBron's kind of making a case for himself.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a case out there. I just don't know if.
Yeah, I guess you could, but I don't know. I think James Harden has kind of just been his award for a while now. And I don't think he's done anything to lose any ground. So I can't find a reason to not give it to him. So I feel like he kind of has to get it this year. He's coming second twice. Yeah. Let's just give him one already and be done with it.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're going with the Russell Westbrook argument, the LeBron's just really had no help. And outside the Isaiah Thomas stretch and, like, a couple other games where, like, everyone was just hurt, like, they've been really good. But I don't know. I mean, it kind of is a team war in the sense that it's, like, the best player on the best team that usually – or the best player on, like, one of the three best teams that normally gets it.
Yeah.
And LeBron's just – the Cavs is too far away from that.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. It kind of depends on how you look at the Cavs. If you look at them as, like, they've been good despite all of their dysfunction because of LeBron, or if, like, they've been dysfunctional, like, partially because of LeBron.
Yeah. But I think if you're going to make the LeBron argument, you kind of have to make it, I think, just as much for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And then at that point, we're doing, like, the player who has, like, the worst team just because they're going to elevate their team more than someone who's on a great team. And then you kind of have to relitigate every MVP for the last 40 years.
Yeah, I think people kind of, I don't want to say regret, but, like, look back on, like, last year where they just kind of gave Russ the award for, I guess, you know, making a terrible team good. And I feel like people really aren't, like, in on that anymore for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think Russ deserved it last year.
Oh, I do too. Like, I 100% do too. And I get very angry when people try and say that he retroactively didn't deserve it because, like, Victor Oladipo is good this year and stuff.
Yeah,
like, that kind of stuff drives me crazy. And, like,
no.
I don't know. And then they try and act like averaging a triple-double is, like, nothing when that was, like, one of the records in the NBA that was, like, considered one of the unbreakable ones, like, a couple years ago. But then he did it and they're like, nah, it's nothing. Yeah. But anyway,
also people just forget, like, people forget the moments that, like, the last month of that last season, where it was, like, close, like, Russ had that, like, 50-point triple double and, like, was hitting big shot after big shot, and Harden was just kind of, like, coasting. And, like, I think once we get, like, farther away from the season, it's easier to realize that that might not have been such a big deal in, like, the grand scheme of things. But at the time, you're just kind of getting swept up in Russ's, like, game-to-game heroics and general brilliance that, like...
Yeah.
It's kind of hard not to get swept up in that. It's part of the story of the season, honestly.
Yeah, and I think that's, like... I mean, the reason I think he should have won it last year is because he was just, like, insane in the clutch. And they played so many games in the clutch. Like, he had something like a 60% usage percentage in the clutch. And he was, like, still, like, 58 true shooting or something, which is, like, insane. And, like, he won them probably five more games than they should have. Like, how many more wins are they going to have this year than last year? Is it even – it's going to be, like, I don't know, two or three or something? And, like, they added Paul George and Melo this year. So, like, he's definitely been worse this year, but that shows you how good he was last year. And I think, like, Harden has been better this year, first of all.
Yeah.
So that's, like, why he should win it. And also, like, if you're going to make an argument for LeBron, it'd probably be, like, same, similar to Westbrook. But I just don't think he's been – like, he takes games off, I think, sometimes. And, like, wasn't it, like, January where he was, like, really bad, I think? So, I don't know. He just hasn't been, like, consistently just great the entire year. He's been really good, like, the last month or two. But I think it's been, like, Harden for, like, 3 months now. So,
no argument there.
Yeah, I think it's more the who, like, gets second and third might be actually more interesting. I don't know if you guys want to, like, talk about that.
Well,
but AD, LeBron, Giannis, I think are probably 2, 3, 4.
Those are my 2, 3, 4, and I think it's in that exact order.
Okay, I think that's what I had too.
Yeah. I think I go Bron, AD, Giannis.
Me too. Marshall, I kind of
Marshall, you still there?
Maybe. Do we lose him?
Is he actually? No, he's still in here.
Wait, is he
Marshall? What the heck is that?
What the hell?
It says he's here.
It does.
It says he's connected.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, he said call you back. Call him back. Oh, my goodness.
Here we go.
Freaking chalk.
It says he's in here, though, which is really weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
What in the heck? Whoa.
All right. Yo. So okay, you're back.
What are you doing, Marshall?
I'm sorry. I tried to say like three different things, and then you guys cut me off like every time. I'm like, damn it! And then you were like, "Is Marshall even here?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm right here." I was like, "Oh wait, they can't hear me."
Oh god!
Oh, and then I joined, and then it just like got shocked because I was in there like two times or something. I don't know what's going on.
All right, where were we then?
No, but all right.
We had the order.
I wanted to make I have the same order as you guys. The interesting thing about Russ, though, is like if you look at his stat line this year, yeah, he's averaging I think like 6 less points, but he's at 10 assists and 9.8 total rebounds. So he's almost averaging a triple double this year.
Over his last two games, he needs to get 34 rebounds and 12 assists to average a triple double for the season again.
I don't think he's going to get the rebounds. Yeah.
I don't think he'll get
it. I don't think
he'll
get it.
Although they're playing Memphis, so
but
a lot,
you know,
a lot of misses.
But you know that 9.9 rebounds is just so much less impressive.
Oh, I mean, 6 points is a pretty big deal.
Not even in the conversation this year because of
and
that,
six no. points is a pretty big he's, deal, and his 3-point shooting kind of fell off a cliff. And he's not a late game stud anymore. And now I'm
and the
been,
Thunder
haven't been nearly
and the
Thunder clutch.
Yeah, and the Thunder have underperformed for the most part.
Yeah.
Because
like the triple double, I think that means like almost nothing in terms of like if he got it, if he didn't get it, he wouldn't have won. Like that is kind of BS.
Yeah, you're right.
So if you're, you should never just vote for someone because they got a triple double. Like if they had 9.9, that's still really good. So,
But you think that was a factor? I feel like there was an awe associated with that. That
probably, but it should,
I think it's just because no one thought it would ever be done again.
Yeah,
that's more what I think it is. I do think that did have something to do with it last year.
I think he still would have won just by less of a margin.
I think he probably still would have won, but I do believe that has. That did have like a pretty big part of it was like nobody's done this in 50 years, but I don't know. We're supposed to be talking about this year's awards. What are we doing talking about last year's?
Last year was so much more interesting.
Yeah, it was actually like you said. I feel like everybody's gonna pick. Like I said, everybody has Harden. Would you guys be surprised if Harden got this unanimously?
I would.
You would?
Yeah.
I think like, I wouldn't vote for LeBron. Yeah.
I do too, but like I wouldn't be totally shocked if he won it unanimously.
No. If someone's the number two guy besides LeBron, I would like not be that surprised. But LeBron, you know, kind of being the best player in the league right now and the second best player or first of all time, like I think that kind of gives him some sway with like a handful of voters.
I agree.
No, yeah, that's true. I do think LeBron will get a handful of first place votes. But yeah, like
you,
I said,
you tell me Brian Windhorst is going to vote for James Harden. You telling me that if Nick Wright has, I don't actually think Nick Wright.
I know Nick Wright better not have a vote. He better not. Nobody that stands that hard for any individual player should be allowed to vote on literally anything.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't because I think it's more writers than like.
Yeah, talking it's actual
respect
NBA like journalists. Yeah. It's not like talk show hosts. It's like people who actually cover the league in like a legitimate form. But anyway, so let's see. Marshall, you said you have the same order then? You have LeBron, so AD, Giannis?
Yeah. Are we going to talk about who's fifth or are we going to debate that?
Can I kind of push? All right. So Giannis had like a phenomenal first 2 months, but like the Bucks have kind of underperformed. They're like the 7 seed right now, the 8 seed right now.
I think they're tied for 6th, but they're
and right Giannis there. Still been great, but he's come back down to earth a little bit. Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, I think he's been better than DeMar DeRozan this year, but I would probably put DeMar above him. I'd probably put KD above him. I mean, it's just like, I don't know why we have all these roles for who should win MVP. But then as soon as we get to the 2nd through 5th spot, we just throw out those rules.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But
I don't know. I mean, we could debate the order of 4th and 5th place, but I don't know if it's.
Yeah, I think LeBron and AD are definitely 2 and 3, probably in that order.
Yeah. My whole thing is like that top three I really don't think 5th really matters that much. So I really didn't put too much thought into who would be 5th. I was like, these are definitely the top 4 for me. And. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I didn't really get to think about it too much. Yeah. I don't think it really matters.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to do DPOY now?
Yeah.
Sure. Want to get a defensive player of the year? All right. I think there's really only like 2 candidates for this.
Yeah. Embiid and Gobert.
I think it's Embiid and Gobert. And at first, for a while there, I was on Embiid, but I think Gobert has come around on enough games played where I think I have to give it to Gobert.
I have Gobert.
For me, it's the difference. And, too. It's so shocking how well the Jazz have looked.
With. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. And Embiid really hasn't like played that many more games than Gobert.
Yeah, but Gobert was before he came back from injury, Gobert was like still under like 50 games, I think. And my personal like cutoff thing is like if you've played less than like 2/3 of the games, which is like 50 some. Then I kind of start. I'd like dock you for it, and he's over 55 or whatever would be 2/3 of 82. So
right now it's Embiid's played 63 games, and Gobert's played 53, and I'm assuming Gobert's going to play what 2 more games, 3 more games.
Yeah,
so it'll be within like 7.
Yeah, so he gets over my theoretical benchmark that I put on people. Getting major award consideration, so I give mine to
Gobert. Also, since Gobert plays like more minutes than Embiid does, I think right now there's only like 180 minute difference between the two of them, because that was something I did look at. And like if at the end of the year Gobert's played 100 less minutes than Embiid, like I don't know,
yeah, that's barely
it's kind of a negligible difference.
Yeah, it is pretty close.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I mean Gobert, like just how bad the Jets were without him. The 76ers weren't terrible without Embiid up until this most recent stretch, but like, and Utah really fell apart and then won like 23 of 25 whenever Gobert came back. Like 23 of 25 in the West. That is insanity. And don't get me wrong, I like their defensive personnel, but it's not like Joe Ingles is pretty good at smaller guys, but it's not like you're like, oh, I'm just shove Joe Ingles out there and he's going to shut down the top wing. And it's not like Ricky Rubio is a good defensive point guard, but his athletic limitations really stop him on some of the better guys. And Donovan Mitchell's been good defensively for a rookie, but like it's not like
there's that caveat in there for a rookie.
It's not like they have any other like all defensive they don't have another team, like any even like candidates. Yeah. Like the Sixers, you can make a case for Covington and Simmons to be all defensive cap candidates, and like
I feel like I've heard some people toss around Rubio as a.
I mean, he's good defensively, but it's just like against some of the quicker guards, he can't really.
No, yeah, I agree, but yeah, he doesn't have like another like legitimate like elite level defender on his team.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Greg, do you also have Gobert?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the games are close enough, and his just defensive stats are honestly better. He probably plays against like he has tougher matchups slightly in the Western Conference.
Slightly,
yeah, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, he plays against a lot tougher point guards and stuff that are, you know,
and better centers.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think he should. He deserves it. But I mean, I could see Embiid winning it. But I think Rudy Gobert is just better defensively.
No, yeah, I think Gobert ends up getting it though in real life. Like I think, like I said, I think he's gotten close enough in games, and like I said, he's only like 200 minutes less played than Embiid at this point. So I really don't think that if that's like your deciding factor, I don't think that should be like a big thing anymore. After he's come back, and I just think Gobert's been better defensively, and I don't know, he probably deserves one.
It's definitely not a wide.
Did he get one? He doesn't have one. I was gonna say he's probably due for one. But Marshall, you agree with this then?
Yeah, I'm all aboard Gobert here.
All right, cool. So do we? I guess there's not really like none of us have another possible candidate outside of Embiid either.
No, I think it's. Really yeah, between those
I
two.
Guess There's I would put Draymond third, but I mean, yeah. Like, the Warriors were bad defensively in January, and they haven't been great these last 10 games. So, like,
yeah. And it just seems like he hasn't had the same level of defensive like intensity. And I just feel like he hasn't been giving the same amount of effort he usually has.
I mean,
over the past couple of years, but
he has. It's still like a 90-95% possession thing, but like, there are definitely games where he's not the guy he was like. Every game they won 73.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess I would probably put Draymond at third, too, but I don't really think he has a legitimate case for winning.
No. What about that KD Defensive Player of the Year case?
No.
That died out. That died off real quick.
Look, right, so KD's a great defender in the playoffs.
That was never a thing.
But I will
it was.
Say this.
It was for like it a
was,
couple
it
weeks.
It was hyped up as a thing, but it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
I will say this: KD is not a great possession by possession defender in the regular season.
No, he's not. I think he has like a negative defensive plus minus or something.
That's actually really impressive because his height's factored in. So like him being 6'9" is probably actually pretty tough for him to get a negative.
Yeah,
dude, I'm looking at this defensive plus minus. Did you guys know Westbrook is 8th this year?
That's insane. But it's because.
Defensive, it's not like a great indicator.
Yeah, it's used basically. It's like Carlos Boozer was really good at it because the Bulls had a great defense, and he got the most defensive stats while he was on the court in terms of like rebounds, and he got like a steal and a half a game and like a block. But like Joakim Noah is obviously the linchpin. He's because the stats are figured in. So Westbrook getting a ton of defensive rebounds and like a couple steals really inflates.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
because if Steven Adams
defensive stats are hard to take into account.
If Steven Adams took like 3 rebounds from Russ every game, like that would look a lot different.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. I don't know. Do we have anything else on Defensive Player of the Year? Then we good to move on to the next one.
Yeah, actually, maybe. I mean, like maybe Steven Adams and Clint Capella deserve a shout out. Obviously, Andre Robertson, but I think he's been hurt for too long.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Seeing the Thunder without him makes it even like, wow, he's a really important aspect of that team. You know?
Alrighty, do we want to move on to Rookie of the Year then?
Yeah.
Alrighty, again, I feel like this is another one. There's really only 2 candidates. And in this one, like, I really wouldn't care who won out of either of them. Like, I personally have Ben Simmons over Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's incredibly close anymore.
See, I really wouldn't care. Like, I wouldn't be super upset if Donovan Mitchell won.
Yeah, I think it was close, like, when we were talking about doing this, like, 2 weeks ago. I might have actually had Donovan Mitchell, but once the Sixers went on, like, a 13-game win streak, most of them without Embiid, and Simmons has just been, like, ridiculously good, I think it's over.
Yeah. So, I'm with you on that.
I mean, I won't take anything away from Donovan Mitchell, but, like, Simmons kind of elevated his game to, like, Simmons is making an all-NBA case, and Donovan Mitchell is.
Oh, yeah.
And I get the forward-guard difference kind of matters there. But, like, Ben Simmons has legitimately been one of the 15 best players in the league for the last, like, 3 weeks. And Donovan Mitchell has an A point this season.
I just think Ben Simmons has been the all-around best and most consistent rookie we've seen in, like, a while.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Mitchell did also kind of come on slow. Simmons did have that dip, like, in December and a little bit in January.
Yeah. But he started the year really good, too, though.
Yeah. But I just think he's been, like, the best rookie we've seen, like just the most polished and all-around, just good at pretty much everything outside of shooting.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through that list of recent winners and see, like, who's the last person who had, like, a better rookie year? Because I kind of agree with you, Tony. It's pretty impressive what we've seen.
I mean, like Karl-Anthony Towns had a really impressive statistical rookie year, but...
So did Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin was really good, too,
Yeah.
I think John Wall did, too, but he had, like, 5 turnovers a game. He was, like, 19-9 with 5 turnovers.
Yeah, here. Karl-Anthony Towns' rookie year was – he averaged 18-10.
Like, I think a block and a half, right?
Yeah, almost 1.7 blocks. So that was also pretty impressive. That's probably the next impressive one. And then before that, it's probably Blake Griffin, honestly.
Yeah, I think – was he 20-10?
He was like something like that. Yeah,
I think it was 20-10.
What about my boy Tyreek Evans? He went like 21-5 on just like horrid shooting numbers. It was like it was like 40-25-70.
Yeah,
it was some real Michael Carter Williams numbers.
Let's see. Yeah, he Tyreek Evans was 20 points, 5 boards, 6 assists, a steal and a half, shot 45.8% from the field.
Oh, I'm thinking of his sophomore year probably.
He shot like 40% his but he shot like 25% from three that rookie year. But
better than Ben Simmons 0%.
Ben Simmons has taken 11 threes this year, and I'm pretty sure all of them have been like half court plus heaves.
I think one of them's been a shot clock violation, but
still, it wasn't a shot that he like.
They're all four shots. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
It's crazy that he like legit can't shoot. Did you guys see the play against like the Cavs where he got the ball like 15 feet away from the basket with like 5 seconds on the shot clock, and he just like looked for someone to pass it to because he couldn't shoot. It was like ridiculous. Like he ended up throwing it to like JJ Redick and took like a contested fadeaway, and it was just like, why don't you just shoot the ball?
Honestly, JJ Redick contested fadeaway might be a better percentage shot than a Ben
Simmons. I mean, it is. But, like, he didn't even consider looking at that.
Like, he's just like, floater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I don't know.
He doesn't. Like, he just doesn't shoot at all. Like, it's crazy. And the fact that he still averages, like, 16 a game and is, like, an effective player.
Yeah. I keep thinking I should worry about it, but, I mean, like,
I think
it doesn't seem like it's an issue right now. Like, he's just so like good. I feel like
it will become a little bit more of an issue in the playoffs, but.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see that. But.
Yeah.
I don't know. This rookie of the year race is like a super heated like Twitter thing though, which kind of cracks me up because like Jazz fans act like Ben Simmons sucks, and then Sixers fans act like Donovan Mitchell sucks. And it's like, there's the Mark cough.
Oh,
but I mean, I think both are. I feel like if Ben Simmons wasn't considered a rookie, like Donovan Mitchell is like runaway rookie of the year. Like it's not even a conversation. But
talking about whoa, Jason Tatum, boss,
man. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Again, it's a runaway rookie of the year.
No, it is. it's a runaway third place rookie of the year for Jason Tatum, though. Give him some credit.
I guess, yeah, sure.
Runaway third place.
Runaway bronze for
Hey, not bad.
But so we're all going Simmons? Is it just the last month or so? Is that really what's sealed it for you guys then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Because it was close, I think. But
I think it was legitimately really close. But
the Sixers get the third seed and like without Embiid for
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Like he's been a month. Then, yeah.
He's been a monster.
Yeah. Too, if the Sixers got the 7 seed, I think we'd be having like a different conversation because Utah looks pretty locked into the 5 seed.
Yeah. The Sixers went like 5-6 or whatever the last 11 games instead of 11-0. Then it might be different, but
no,
Simmons locked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Alrighty, well, let's go move on to the next category. We'll go most improved player. Does anybody have anybody other than Victor Oladipo?
Oh, not to beat Victor Oladipo. I mean, it's just been remarkable.
Yeah.
I don't even know like what other guys I would even consider in this.
Julius Randle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of him. Yeah, but
Oladipo, I feel like, just has it very easily. Like, for the whole, like, first, like, couple, like, month or so of the season, I was just waiting for him to stop being so good. So I was like, this isn't sustainable.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
Oh.
And then it's like, nope, they're the 5 seed at least.
Like, what about, Spencer Dinwiddie?
Oh, yeah, I guess. You could throw him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he in the league last year?
He wasn't playing. Maybe Steven Adams? Andre Drummond too, yeah.
Andre Drummond.
Yeah. Like, Steven Adams really has become a post-up threat this year, maybe on like-sized guys, but anytime anytime they switch to that Paul George, Steven Adams pick and roll, they really just pull it back out and go to Adams in the post, and he's been very good on those.
Yeah. I felt like he was good at that last year too.
You could definitely see him developing a touch, but they'd really just go to him too much against, like, 5 men and sometimes looked rocky. I mean, his motion's very fluid now. He has, like, the shoulder fakes he's getting. He has, like, ball fakes and step-throughs and, like, second-level moves. I mean, it's honestly very impressive. I would love to see what he could do if Melo was on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking wish he wasn't.
Yeah. No, yeah, but yeah, Marshall, I was like, just waiting for the Pacers and Victor Oladipo to just – I was like, this isn't sustainable for them. But then they just never lost, or they, like, stayed pretty good. And Victor Oladipo
was –
Keep
hitting those twos, man, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, okay, but
yeah,
I don't know, really impressive this year. Like, I really didn't see it coming at all either.
That's the thing. Like, I watched him quite a bit when he was on the Magic because, you know, I was.
Oh yeah, you were.
Ironically, a Magic fan.
Yeah.
As I watched him quite a bit back then, and like, I thought he had potential, but I never thought like this season kind of came out of nowhere once he went away from OKC.
Yeah. All I'm saying is he dropped an R&B album one summer, was a beast the next year. There's a direct correlation to him being good and releasing R&B albums the summer before the season.
I believe it.
Clearly.
Clearly. is there any other people that you want to throw out for consideration for this award? Because it seems like nobody has any
I think any we gave gripe. Some shout-outs, right?
But yeah.
I don't think anyone's close to Oladipo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kristaps might have had a case had he not gotten hurt.
Definitely, I agree with that. But unfortunately, he did get hurt. All right, do we want to move on then to the next one?
Yeah.
Alrighty, sure. We'll go to Sixth Man of the Year again. Does anybody have anybody other than Lou Williams?
No.
Yeah, I feel like this is like the first year in a while where there's almost no debate for like a handful of these awards. Like, this is...
Yeah.
But, like,
this is the first year that Andre Iguodala hasn't been, like, clearly the best bench player in the league, but not, like, putting up crazy scoring totals, so...
Yeah.
Because that was always a conversation that was, like...
Yeah.
Should we give it to Andre Iguodala, who's clearly the best bench guy in the league?
Yeah. I don't know. Does anybody have anybody else they want to throw out as somebody they'd vote for, like, in second? So I think, like, Will Barton's been good.
Yeah. Eric Gordon...
Yeah, Eric Gordon. Probably
Eric Gordon, Will Barton, and Julius Randle, but, like, they've all started some games.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many for any of them.
Here, Will Barton has started 38 of the 79 games he's played in.
So unless he starts the last three.
Yeah, he's good.
How many do you need to?
It's under half, right?
Under half.
Yeah, under half. What Eric about Gordon... Fred VanVleet?
Eric Gordon's at 30.
Yeah. Fred VanVleet. He has been like
real good this year.
Yeah,
he's closing games for them.
Yeah,
he's been decent this year.
Yeah, I guess he might get like a couple votes if he's like further down the ballot. But again, I don't think anybody really can has an argument over Lou. But I don't know. How many games has Julius Randle started this season?
That's a good question.
Let me see.
Yes, I didn't really do some research.
He started because... 40. He started 46.
Oh yeah.
So
he's out.
Yeah, he is out. But yeah, I really think it's like Lou and Eric Gordon and like Will Barton are probably like the top three.
Yeah, but Lou Williams probably gonna run away with this.
Unanimous.
Oh, unanimous six man. I mean, he was legitimately almost an all-star this year. Like,
oh yeah, I think
people talked about him. So,
yeah,
I think Sabonis could pick up some lower place votes too. He's been real good.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, all right. Do we have anything else we want to put him talk about on six man?
Nah.
Oh, Tyreek Evans.
Oh yeah, Tyreek. Tyreek was.
Oh yeah.
I still can't believe he didn't get traded.
He's six. But... He was actually six man.
Yeah, I think he only started like 20 games this year. But I think he only played like 60 some.
Oh wow.
No, yeah. That's still crazy. I can't believe it.
Oh, he started 32 of 52 he's played in. So.
Oh. Mm. Alrighty. Well, you guys good on six man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alright. Alright, we'll go to one where I actually think there could be a little bit of debate about here. Coach of the year.
All right. This is actually real hard for me because I think there are five guys that have pretty strong cases.
There could be more than five, honestly.
I think there could be. I think you could make a case for.
I wrote down eight guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, about seven or eight, you could probably legitimately make a case
for.
Where do you want to start?
All right. I think Dwayne Casey will win it.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I actually think he deserves it, too. Like, I mm-hmm. I'm gonna be pretty happy. Like, I'm not gonna be like mad that Dwayne Casey wins. Like, I mean, I feel like the Raptors were like that team in the East that everybody was like, oh yeah, they'll make the playoffs this year. They'll be fine. But then it's like, then they're like legitimately the one seed. But I guess them being the one seed is more of the Cavs not being the one seed than the Raptors being the one seed.
Yeah, and the Gordon Hayward injury.
Yeah. And the Gordon Hayward injury. Yeah, it's been more of like circumstances outside of his.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they've won like six. Like they've won like.
They're gonna be close to 60. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I do think that there's something to be said for someone who makes a team better. That's the same exact. Like he changed how they played without making any additions to the team.
Yeah, like they pretty much brought back the exact same team.
Yeah, and he was
a good bit better.
Yeah, and he got buy-in from like his stars to do less, to move the ball more. Like he definitely deserves a lot of credit to developing that bench into what it is.
Yeah. I would probably vote for Dwayne Casey, but again, like I genuinely wouldn't care if you voted for like any of these like five other people.
Yeah. So can we run through everybody I considered real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I considered Casey, Stevens, Brent Brown, Nate McMillan, Spo, Terry Stotts, Quinn Snyder, Pop.
Yeah. I also had Mike D'Antoni.
I did too, but
yeah, I gave quick consideration to D'Antoni and Gentry, but like, I think my thing with D'Antoni is he's the offensive guy. Their lead assistant's really the defensive guy, and I think the defense deserves much more credit for being great than the offense because, like, with Chris Paul and James Harden, you're pretty much guaranteed to have a top five offense.
Yeah, also that and like their offense is basically just like let. It's Gasol and James Harden do whatever they want.
Yeah,
so it's not
pick
like
and roll, pick and roll mismatch ISO.
Yeah, he's not doing like a lot of individual coaching, which I mean, in a way, you should give him credit for. But it's also,
I mean,
like he should.
I think
like, this year is very strong, so I don't think he should win it. Plus, he just won last year.
Yeah, I think his main thing is that like on offense, is that he encourages players to shoot. Like he's a confidence guy. He says that he'll never take a player out for missing a shot, but he'll take a player out for not taking a shot.
Yeah.
Which is just a pretty big mantra when you have a lot of guys who've like been fringe shooters like PJ Tucker, Luke Richard, and Bob Mute. And you get them to have their best season, partly because like Chris Paul and James Harden are generating them such great looks, but partially because they know they have that green light from their coach.
Yeah.
Because someone from the Sixers, it might have been Sam Hinkie, was saying that like Luke Richard and Bob Mute always shot like the percentages in practice to where he should be able to shoot in games. But then whenever game time came, he was just never a good shooter. So, like, in theory, he was always a three-point guy, but he just, I guess, didn't have the confidence in games to shoot them. And this year, I think he's shooting 36 or 37% from three, which is, like, a pretty big deal. for a career 32% guy.
Yeah. But who would you vote for if you had to pick one, Mark?
If I had to pick one, see, I really want to go Pop. Oh. Look at that team. That team is horrible. That team is garbage. Besides LaMarcus Aldridge, how many players do they have that would start on any other playoff team? None of their point guards would.
No.
Maybe Patty Mills would start on the Cavs. But I still think George Hill's a better player there.
I mean their team's legitimately bad. Like
Kyle Anderson's like a fine third forward, but like you don't want him starting for you.
Yeah. And we were also all ready to tell LaMarcus Aldridge to like get out of here like last year. Like we were calling him a bum last year.
And LaMarcus
year,
Aldridge but, might get some fifth place MVP votes this year.
Yeah, for real.
He's had a really good year.
It's an amazing year. Yeah. It's just kind of like guys like Bryn Forbes, Brandon Paul.
Yeah.
Joffrey Laverne. Like, they've all put in, like, rotation minutes for this Spurs team that's, like, the sixth seed right now. And really, if you just compare the teams on talent, they should be, like, the 11th seed.
Oh, yeah, they should be bad.
Like, yeah, but I think it gets taken for granted that having Pop adds 15 wins to your team every year.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, they won 60 games last year, like, losing Kawhi and losing 15 games should be like on par, but I'm like, but that team last year shouldn't have won 60 games. They had two good players.
But yeah, no, I think Pop has a similar thing happening to him as like LeBron does, where it's just like, all right, this is what they do. So
yeah, this is what we expect him to do. So
yeah. It's like we just expect Greg Popovich to turn like teams that should be winning in the 30s of games to like 50 plus win teams. Yeah. So it's just.
He should definitely be in the conversation every year.
Yeah, so, definitely.
I mean, I think
it's kind of like LeBron where you could just kind of pick what years you should give it to him almost.
Yeah.
I think if I had to pick a five, it would be Pop, Quinn Snyder, Dwayne Casey, Brad Stevens, Brent Brown.
In that order?
Yeah, in that order. And then Stotts would be probably the first person I left off. Actually, probably McMillan would be the first person I left off. Just because no one expected this from the Pacers.
Yeah. Dude, that's like beginning of the season, I was like, oh, optimistically, you know, the Pacers will be like the 10th seed.
Yeah. Also, I did think that coming into this year, I did think that Nate McMillan was a bad coach.
Yeah, I was like, I also thought they were like, I thought that was like not a very smart thing to do.
I remember when they switched from Vogel to him, I was like, so we want a guy who played grinded out basketball in Portland, whose teams didn't have great defense. Like, they had a good offense because Brandon Roy was one of the most complete offensive players that we've seen in the last 15 years. But they had a bad defense and they played really slow. And it didn't seem like he was a great coach there. And now, like, he's done an amazing job this season. I kind of feel like we should give him credit for it, but I don't know about over some of the other candidates.
Yeah. I don't know. Greg, who do you have winning? Who would you pick?
I went with Brad Stevens.
That's,
number one. Yeah. It's close. I mean, you could make an argument for any of these guys. I had Dwayne Casey number two. Yeah. But I just think Brad Stevens, like, with how much, like, injuries and stuff the Celtics have had. I mean, they still won, like, almost. They're still going to win, like, what, 55 games or something this year?
Yeah.
Which is crazy for how many people they've lost. I mean, obviously, Gordon Hayward went down.
Yeah.
Kyrie's been down for 25 games or something like that. And getting like as much as he has out of some of the younger guys they've had, you know, I mean, you give him credit for like, I think you have to give him some credit for like how good a lot of their young guys have been, that he could put a system around to make them come in and be effective is pretty impressive.
No, yeah, I agree. Marshall, how about you?
Oh, man.
You have to pick one, Marshall. You gotta pick one.
Yeah, I know. I feel like my opinion on this changes basically every day, though. But I would say right now I would have Quinn Snyder number one. I think, I don't know, losing Gordon Hayward in the offseason, then, you know, Mitchell has been great, and obviously he's a huge reason for their success.
And missing Gobert for 30 games.
Yeah,
navigating that, and then once Gobert comes back, getting everything click so quickly, this is insane. Yeah. I think they won like 24 of 26 games or some insane run they've been on. They're a team no one wants to play in the playoffs. Like, he's had a really impressive job this year. So, I would lean slightly him.
they could get the 3 seed if they beat Portland. Yeah. Now the question as well.
I'm also kind of like shocked. Looking back, it's kind of a no-brainer move. But at the time, to take the ball out of Ricky Rubio's hands, who's kind of like a master floor general, who doesn't bring much off ball, and putting the ball in Donovan Mitchell's hands, who's like a pretty unproven rookie, is still like a very bold move.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a lot of coaches would have made it. And I mean, yep. Building the defense, like we said, there are no other serious DPOY candidates, but like building a defense is going to be so good around one singular defensive talent definitely deserves a lot of credit. And I mean, I just really like their offense too. Like everyone touches the ball. There's a lot of ball movement. There's a lot of screens and fake actions. It's a very good offense for a team that's overachieving offensively.
Yep, I agree.
Because I remember coming into the season, I was like, if the Jazz have like the 25th ranked offense and the 5th ranked defense, like they might make the playoffs. Like that was a big thing, that they were going to have like a bottom five offense, like worse than some tanking team's offense.
Yeah, they've been like average.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
League average or so, which is pretty good for who they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's mostly just Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like I said, I kind of think Dwayne Casey ends up winning it. But
I think he won it as well, yeah.
Like I think there's like probably like 7 or so coaches that legitimately have an argument that
you have could Tony.
Be like I have Dwayne Casey, but
okay. Yeah. But, no, I mean I before too, cuz like I actually think that was Mark who was saying that they really haven't made any major roster movements. Mm-hmm. They kind of redefined how they play.
Yeah. And like it's like nobody was really like considering them as like a legitimate like Eastern Conference like threat. Everybody, I feel like they were like the forgotten team of that top tier everybody was talking about, and then they just kind of came out and ended up being really good this year. So I don't know. That's I give Dwayne Casey a lot of credit for that.
I have a question though.
Yeah.
After Casey wins, do we sour on the pick whenever they go out in like five, six games to either the Sixers or the Cavs?
I mean, probably, but it's a.
It's a
always look at, it's a regular season award. The playoffs have nothing to do with it. I always get mad when people do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it probably will be your like. We probably will be like, oh, that probably wasn't too great that we gave it to him because he lost real early. But I don't know. I thought he did really impressive stuff with the Raptors during the regular season. So
it's also kind of a tough decision, I think, for like especially Coach of the Year's one, where like there are really only like 5 or 6 like really good coaches in the league. And you could probably just give it to one of them every year. Like, you just want to give it to, like, Pop or, like, Brad Stevens or, like...
Yeah, rotate
it. Yeah, or if you want to give it to, like, guys who, like, have good years coaching, you know, like Dwayne Casey or something like that, where, like, in past years, like, he's been on the hot seat. Like, they could have fired him, like, last year, and it wouldn't have been surprising. But, like, he did a good job this year, so are you going to give it to him this year, or are you just going to be like, we should just give it to Pop or Brad Stevens or someone like that every year?
All right, to be fair, Pop has 3 Coach of the Year awards. Which is the biggest crime in the NBA, besides maybe Tim Duncan not having a DPOY.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's like people get tired of it's like MVP. Like, you could give LeBron, like,
7
MVPs.
Said. But exactly. It's just like people are like, all right, this is what it's expected of Popovich. And then usually the Coach of the Year award just goes to the person who coaches the team that nobody expected to be any good. And then they end up being good. Like, that's pretty much the award.
And then once you build in expectations for coaches, like, Pop has to, like, exceed what people already expect, which is that he's going to be a great coach.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like,
so it's kind of tough. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, all right, are we good on Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll go to the last individual award, Executive of the Year. Who do you guys have for this one?
I thought about this a lot, and I think it's Daryl Morey.
Yeah, I agree. I also have Daryl Morey.
That's who I have, too.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the CP3 trade, I get it was kind of like a foregone conclusion because it was basically like, trade me to the Rockets or I'm opting out. So you don't give him too much credit for that.
I think you deserve to give him some credit, though. Cause
for
like,
getting Chris Paul. Yeah,
well, also for putting all those like – I don't even know what they traded for Chris Paul, but like all those small assets or whatever that they put together.
Patrick Beverly.
Yeah, like you had to have all those pieces and like
there's
all
like
the
4 non-guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, exactly. And to just have all those assets available, like thinking ahead from previous years, like, you know, that's something that you need to have, and that's, you know, pretty impressive that they were able to put all that stuff together to get Chris Paul.
Huh. Well, also just like getting PJ Tucker and Luke Richard and Bamute.
Yeah, those are like the two big ones.
Yeah, because PJ Tucker was offered 3 for 33 in Toronto and 4 for 32 in Houston. Like, Daryl Morey got him in. I guess some of it was Chris Paul because apparently they're friends, but I still give Morey credit for that. Getting Luke Richard and Bamute, a player that everyone needs at the biannual exception, was like pretty amazing.
Does anybody have any other people they want to throw out for this? Do we want to give a shout out to Danny Ainge or nah?
Yeah.
Nope. Jason Tatum trade's looking worse by the day. I guess they fleeced Cleveland, but I mean they didn't know about the Kyrie knee injury.
Did they know? If Hayward would have stayed healthy and Kyrie would have stayed healthy, I feel like he would have easily ran away with this award. But I feel like if you're just looking, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. It's like, can you fault the executive?
Yeah, like I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
It's not Danny Ainge's. It's not Danny Ainge's fault. Gordon Hayward had a freak injury in the first game of the season.
And also, like, he didn't know that the Sixers guy was going to get injured either.
Markel.
Yeah.
Fultz, yeah.
Yeah, but, like,
he didn't know that that was going to be such a good trade. Like, Fultz could still be a really good player, so it's not like we should take that as, like, a huge win already.
Yeah. But, I don't know, is there even any other front office guy? I know, like, at least preseason, I'm drawing a blank on what's
people
what's
were it? Talking a lot about Bob Myers preseason, but
Sam Presti had a lot of preseason hype, but they kind of
Look at Melo, dude.
Melo trade was not good.
Yeah, turns out Kevin Melo has been bad. Yeah. But
well, Kevin Pritchard's been getting some hype recently.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't think. I mean, the Paul George trade, you got to give him credit for it, but like I don't know if we knew how good he was going to be, or how good Oladipo or Sabonis were going to be, and. Like, and you still have to give him credit for it. And then the Bogdanovich signing, trading for Corey Joseph. Those are all, like, individually good moves. But I still think Ainge and Morey have to be ahead of him for getting a true superstar.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess, do we all agree then Morey gets it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think some of it's circumstance because of – and if Hayward were healthy and Kyrie played all season,
yeah, I think that's, Ainge would have won it. Kind of a weird
– yeah.
Yeah.
It goes the executive of the year ends up being a lot of like stuff that ends up happening out of the actual GM's control during the season. But
yeah. Oh yeah.
But all right. So let's just go through. We all agreed on James Harden as MVP. We all agreed with Rudy Gobert as DPOY.
Yep.
We all agreed with Ben Simmons as Rookie of the Year. We all agreed with Oladipo as Most Improved Player. We all agreed with Lou Williams as Sixth Man of the Year. And then what? I had Dwayne Casey. Mark, did you pick Pop?
Yeah, I picked Pop.
Greg, who did you have?
Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. And Marshall, you had Quinn Snyder?
Yep.
All right, so we all had a different coach. But and then we all agreed on Daryl Morey as the exec. Damn. Do we want to go into all NBA teams now?
Yeah, let's go for
it. Yeah, sure.
How do we want to do this? Do we want to go, like, second team? Or do we want to go, like, first team guards, second team guards, third team guards? Or do we want to go team by team or positions-wise?
I think we should do positions. That's how I, like, put these together. Like, I thought of the positions.
As well.
Okay, so you guys want to talk about all of the guards first and then go all the forwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to throw out here too. Did you guys consider Anthony Davis a forward or a center?
Center. I considered him and LaMarcus Aldridge a center.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right, so who are your guys' first team guards? Somebody give me their first team guards.
I have Harden and Dame Lillard.
Yeah, I think I'm with it cuz are you taking Curry out for injury reasons?
I mean, okay. if Curry had given I do think that, like, all NBA is kind of, like, spectacular instead of, like, a full season contribution. But with the time that Steph Curry's missed, it's kind of hard to first team.
Yeah. So are you still you have him on a later team, or are you completely removing him from all NBA teams because he didn't play?
I'm kind of fighting with that. Like,
yeah. See, that's kind of
he played 51 games. I don't know where my cutoff is, but I mean, I think I want to say usually like I want to make my cutoff around like 57 games, but with how much better Steph Curry's been than some guys, I don't want to be like, oh, Steph Curry didn't play six more games or like. So I've been considering him a lot for the third team, but I'm still.
Yeah, no, that he fell in a really like it's with the amount of games. It's very close. I don't know. It's like
it's tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really just up to your whatever you value more, I guess. I still have him on the third team because I figured if he was healthy the whole year, he'd be first team.
Yeah.
I agree. So
And I kind of like downgraded him two steps because he missed, I don't know, what, 30 games?
Yeah.
I figure like once you miss like 15 games, that's like one step down. So he missed like 30 games, which is two steps down. But I don't know. That's just kind of how I valued it. You could argue with that, but I also had James Harden and Damian Lillard first team. So,
all right, cool. Marshall, what about you? There.
Yeah, I had James Harden and Damian Lillard.
Oh, cool. How about that?
Oh yeah, we completely didn't mention Damian Lillard when we were talking about MVP, and we should have because I honestly think I'd have him fourth.
Yeah, he probably will. He'll probably get some fifth place ones.
Yeah, he's definitely in that fourth, fifth conversation.
Yeah. All right, then who do you guys have as second team guards?
I had Westbrook and Oladipo.
I had Westbrook and DeRozan.
Ooh.
I have Westbrook and Oladipo as well.
Ooh, I go Westbrook and DeRozan as well.
Oh, so, wow. Split.
So Westbrook, unanimous second team. Kind of surprised. But,
See, and he's really only there for because of injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If everyone had been healthy, he might not even be on.
If I don't know if I'd say he wouldn't even be on. I mean, I still think he'd be pretty close to a lock for third team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we put Steph and Kyrie above him, I don't think it would put Chris Paul above him.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, that was the third team guards, who to leave off was pretty hard for me. But
yeah, the guards are really tough. There's like eight guys that probably deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's real. And that's the thing too with the Steph Curry one is like I kind of want to like
you kind of want to take him off to...
just to so I can put somebody in.
It makes it easier, if you don't have to worry about Curry. But yeah, man, it's tough.
Yeah. So you guys have Russ and Oladipo. Me and Mark have Russ and DeRozan. So who do you guys have on your third team guards?
I got Chris Paul and Steph Curry.
That's who I have too.
Yeah.
I really wanted to find a spot for Oladipo. And maybe you put him on over Steph just because. But Chris Paul's only played six more games than Steph. So I feel like I would take off Chris Paul first. But then
I have Steph and DeRozan.
Then if also we're not weighing games played that heavily, I kind of feel like I would put Kyrie Irving over Oladipo.
Yeah.
And he played 60 games. And I think he was almost as good as Chris Paul was this year. Like, not quite, but pretty close.
Yeah, see, part of me wants to just take Steph off, and then I feel like I would honestly – oh, it's so hard. Like, I feel like I would put Kyrie there, but I also want to put Oladipo there. So, it's – well, if we have a fourth team, my fourth team's Kyrie and Oladipo, but
– yeah.
Yeah, I think we got the top eight for sure. It's just how you want to fiddle with.
Exactly. And for me, if you want to disqualify Steph because he didn't play enough games for you, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But like you said, like if he would have played, like if he would have played like legitimately like an extra like five games, I would have no problem with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I said, I have that if like he arbitrary. Five more games, like,
he might be first team. That's
what I mean. Like if he didn't get hurt, he would be first team for me. So I have a hard time completely leaving him off the list.
Yeah. That's he was just so good this year.
Yeah. That's kind of what I go with. Like he's still like probably other than James Harden, he's been the best guard for sure this year, and he may even be better than James Harden like in just individually. So I think he definitely has to be on here. Like if he legit played like 30 games, then like I could understand not putting him on, but he still played more than half the season, and I think he definitely deserves to be on.
Yeah,
Yeah. My whole big thing was, like, I was kind of fighting with whether or not to put him, Oladipo, or Irving on the third team. Like, well, if I'm giving Chris Paul 57 games, I can't not give Steph Curry it for 51 games. Yeah. He was better than this. I'd rather have 51 games of Curry than 57 games of Chris Paul.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't know, it's hard. But like, if we got a fourth team... Chris Paul's
been really good this year.
Oh, Chris Paul's
been... Oh, yeah.
But I said, if we had a fourth...
They're just letting him crush second units.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
if we had a fourth team, my fourth team would be Kyrie and Oladipo. But unfortunately, that doesn't exist.
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention. Yes, they're my honorable mentions. But, all right. So we all agreed Harden and Dame as first team guards. And then me and Mark had Russ and DeRozan as second team. You guys had Russ and Oladipo.
Yeah.
And then do we all agree on Steph, Chris Paul? Or
no.
Marshall had DeRozan. Ooh. Who did you have DeRozan in over?
Paul.
Okay.
So I have Steph and DeRozan.
That's fair.
Right. All right. Do we want to move on to forwards then?
Yep.
All right. Sure. So my first team forwards are LeBron and Giannis. Are there any?
if we're considering AD as center, I think it's those two.
All right. Well, so here's if AD is considered a forward, which one of them do you bump down?
You bump Giannis.
That's what I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I put AD over Giannis.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think the 8 games played ultimately end up being my tiebreaker for KD versus Giannis. Because, I mean, KD's been so good this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, KD is a 0.011% off from being comfortably in 50-40-90. And he's putting up 27, 7, and 5.5 assists with 2 blocks in the season. Like, KD's been unreal this year. I just think Giannis's hot start and him having to do a little more for stretches of the season. Actually, damn, that's still so tough.
Yeah, that is really tough.
You know what? I actually think I would give it to KD over Giannis.
Oh, so you're going to go your first team's
KD and LeBron.
Forwards,
KD and LeBron.
LeBron and KD?
I mean, Giannis has been better defensively. He's played more games, but KD is such a better offensive player. I would even say that KD's a better passer than Giannis. Giannis misses a lot of guys. Probably. Like,
I would agree.
He has a good feel for the game, but he misses a lot of reads. Just like, maybe it's from running a discombobulated offense and not knowing where everyone is, but I think he still misses a lot of passes. He should be a 7 or 8 assist guy.
Yeah, probably.
Also, I don't really have the stats for this, but I'm assuming KD is like just a better player in close games, like in the clutch.
Yeah. Oh, Giannis has been kind of bad in the clutch.
Yeah, because he can't shoot. So when
he can't shoot, he's got to drive.
So he has to drive in.
Well, no, what they do a lot late is they post him, and then the double comes. He takes that 8 or 10 foot fadeaway jumper, which almost never goes in.
Yeah, because he can't shoot.
Yeah.
So I could see that. Like, you could definitely penalize Giannis for the fact that they're going to be like a 7 or 8 seed this year when they, I mean, they have enough talent to definitely be higher than
a 5 seed or a 4 seed.
At least, yeah.
All righty. Well, Mark, your first team, is Mark the only LeBron KD first teamer? The rest of us have LeBron Giannis?
Ooh. I'm tempted to switch, but I'll stick with Giannis for now.
Yeah. I'm sticking with Giannis. Marshall, what about you? You seem like you're up in the air.
I'm staying with Giannis. No.
Alrighty.
I agree with his shortcomings, but I don't know. It is tough, but
Well then, Mark, I assume you have Giannis as one of your second team forwards, and all of us have KD as one of your second team forwards. Who do you guys have as your second team forward?
I have Jimmy Butler. I just think I get he's missed the last couple weeks, but he was so like. I probably would have quibbled with him being on the first team had he played the whole season. He's been unreal defensively. I do take some issue with the fact that he kind of hijacks their offense in late games, and he's a large part of the reason why Kat doesn't get as many touches as he should. But he's just been outright brilliant this year. I mean, he's running offense that's the third best offense in the league when he went out, which, like, given the amount of – they lead the league in mid-range jumpers, that should not be the case. But, I mean, he's just such a complete offensive player. And he's the best out of Giannis, KD, and himself defensively. By, I mean, Giannis has been really good defensively this year, but I still think Jimmy Butler was a little bit better. And I don't know. I think that pushes it because I think Jimmy Butler's been about equal to Giannis offensively. I mean, he doesn't score as much, but that's more so because he has Cat and Andrew Wiggins, and he's a better passer, better playmaker, just like a better playmaker in general. He does some things we haven't seen from Giannis until like 10 games ago, where like Jimmy Butler's actually like a very good screener, which is a pretty rare thing for a guard. And I don't even think I saw Giannis set a screen for anyone until after the All-Star break. And like, well, I mean, he's obviously set a few off screens. Like, I've never seen him set a screen and make solid contact with a guy until I saw him run like a pick and roll with Eric Bledsoe 10 games ago.
Yeah, Marshall, is that you breathing kind of heavy?
But, oh, that might be.
Yeah, you're good.
But yeah, I have Giannis and Jimmy Butler. I don't know. Does anyone have anyone besides Jimmy Butler on their second team?
I have Jimmy. So
I had Paul George.
I thought about it just because of the games thing, but
yeah, I probably went with Jimmy Butler, but he's played 20 less games than Paul George, and that I have Jimmy Butler 13. But it's close.
Yeah,
I mean, I think Butler's been better just game to game for sure. But I think Paul George also has been really good defensively, and their offensive stats aren't like that much different. So I went with the games.
Yeah, that was the only thing I was kind of considering, but I still ended up going with Jimmy. What about you, Marshall?
Yeah, I feel like I'm very consistent in this because I have Jimmy Butler, even though he's played a lot less games than George. I don't know. It's probably recency bias, but I feel like I don't know. I think part of it's how the Thunder have fallen off without Roberson, but I just I feel like you would expect him to be a better partner there, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, their defense has just been outright miserable without.
That's the thing. It's like I don't think Paul George is a terrible.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve a lot of blame for that. But the big thing was they put Roberson on the main defender and let Paul George be like more so of a help guy, which was really big because he was getting a shit ton of deflections, a ton of steals. He's great at off ball doubles, everything like that. And wherever you put him on the ball, you lose a little bit, but not much from Roberson. But then you have like Corey Brewer being the help guy, or like Alex Abrines being the help guy, and that really just puts everything to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Because, guys, spoiler alert, Melo is never the help guy.
What do you mean?
Yeah. I think part of it's the fact that, like, the Thunder just have no one else even respectable defensively to put in for to put in, like, as the fifth guy.
I mean,
it's going to be, like, Melo and Corey Brewer or something who are both just
awful. I mean, Jeremy Grant's an excellent defender, but
Jeremy Grant's not bad,
It's just kind of awkward because he's best defensively at the four of the five. You don't want Melo guarding any small forward. And you don't want him guarding anybody, but you especially don't want him guarding a small forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right, see, this is where it gets hard because I feel like there's – well, so we all have Paul George, or Greg, you have Jimmy Butler as your third team forward. But
yeah,
I feel like this last forward spot's kind of hard because there's just nobody.
I put Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that's where I think I end up going, but it's like – The injuries really, really destroyed, like, the competition in this round. Yeah.
The Gordon Hayward. Yeah. I just don't think Blake's
that good this year.
Yeah, even like Kristaps would have been in here too.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, this is hard, but I do think I'm with you though. I think I fall in with Ben Simmons because, I mean, there's just really not many other people to put in here.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that many other people. Unless you want to like take one of the centers and make them.
As I say, unless you want to make like LaMarcus Aldridge a forward or something.
Right, well, yeah, actually, you can make, like, I would have probably picked LaMarcus Aldridge over Jimmy Butler if I was considering a forward
for second team.
It'd be second team, yeah.
But there's not that many other.
No, there's really not.
It's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Blake Griffin's the next guy.
That's I was looking at that too.
Yeah, he hasn't had a great season.
Like, it's really rough. But I don't know. Do we all go with Ben Simmons then? Is that the?
That's what I'm on. That
good one? Mm. All right.
That's who I had.
I had Ben Simmons too. So, all right. So we're all pretty close in agreement on here because we have LeBron. Three of us have Giannis. Mark has KD, and then three of us have KD on the second team with Jimmy Butler, with Mark having Giannis and Greg having Paul George instead. And then, Greg, you had Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons then as your third team. Yep. And then the rest of us had Paul George and Ben Simmons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alrighty, cool. All right, and then centers. I assume we all have Anthony Davis as our first team center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just been so good this year.
Yeah. Alrighty, then. Who do you guys have as your second team center?
This was pretty tough for me, but I ended up going Embiid.
I also went Embiid.
Yeah. Games played makes it really close for me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't turn the ball over nearly as much as Embiid, which is kind of something that I think we don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
Because I think Embiid's turnover percentage is like around 15%.
It's not good.
LaMarcus Aldridge is like 6%. Like,
here.
He never turns
Embiid's is at 15.6.
Mm-hmm.
And LaMarcus Aldridge's is at, because when I have this up right now, his is at 6.9.
Yeah. Like, that's a huge, that's one every 10 possessions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also just feel like Embiid is a phenomenal offensive player, but I still think he has some things to work out. Like, when Embiid gets the ball faced up from 22 feet to the hoop, I'm just like, okay, this is kind of a wasted possession. Like, this is exactly what the defense wants. And I'm not sure there's a situation you get LaMarcus Aldridge in where, like, he's forced to take, like, a terrible shot or he plays, like, outside of himself. I feel like he's much better. I mean, Embiid's definitely a better finisher and everything like that. And probably a slightly better player on, like, hook shots. But, like, he still has to iron out his turnaround jumper, his face-up jumper. And whereas, like, LaMarcus Aldridge really has everything down pat there.
Yeah.
And LaMarcus Aldridge has been very good defensively, obviously on Embiid levels. But I just kind of feel like in crunch time, this is my, like, big tiebreaker. In crunch time, I would definitely rather have Embiid on my team.
Yeah.
Just because I'm pretty sure he'd make, like, the game-winning block or, you know, just blow by someone and get a dunk or get a tip in or a put back that LaMarcus Aldridge just can't make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So then we all have LaMarcus Aldridge then as our third team center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I was actually fiddling with
putting him. This is a tough one.
Towns is really close.
I considered Towns and even Gobert.
Yeah.
Although he hasn't played as much, but.
Yeah. He's also just not. I mean, he's solid on offense, but I think.
He's just so good defensively, though.
Well, I guess.
And I think for centers, defensive like stats are actually somewhat more important.
Being better on defense.
Because like you can be, because you could be like an average center offensively, and it's not like that big of a
threat to your team.
Yeah, in a post Tyson Chandler world, as long as you're a rim runner.
Yeah, as long as you can catch lobs, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Do we want to do anything else or? Well, here, let's see. We'll go through. So my first team I have is Harden, Lillard, James, or LeBron, Giannis, and AD. And then, Mark, what was yours? Yours was Harden, Lillard, LeBron,
KD, AD.
And then, Greg, yours was Harden, Lillard, LeBron, Giannis, and AD. And then, Marshall, was yours also the same as that?
Yeah, the same as you guys.
All right. And then my second team was Russ, DeMar, KD, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid. And then, Mark, yours was Russ, DeRozan, Giannis, Jimmy, Embiid.
Yeah.
And then, Greg, yours was Russ, Oladipo, KD, Paul George, Embiid. And Marshall, yours was Russ, Oladipo, KD, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, right? And then my third team was Steph, CP3, Ben Simmons, Paul George, and LaMarcus Aldridge.
I had the same one.
Marcus was the same. Greg, you had – who did you have? Did you have Steph?
Chris Yeah, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, Aldridge. Marcus Aldridge.
And Marshall, yours was?
I had Steph and DeRozan.
Then you had Simmons, Paul George. Paul George,
Simmons, yeah.
And LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Do we want to do any talking about anything else? Anything else we want to bring up?
One thing I just kind of want to ask you guys about, it might end up not mattering, but the Warriors' decision to cut Omri Caspi instead of Damian Jones.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
I get Caspi hasn't given them what they hope for this season, but I mean, West is exclusively a center. Bell's exclusively a center. I think Looney's exclusively a center. And then you have JaVale and Zaza. Like, do you really need a sixth center in that on that team? Like, yeah. Does Damian Jones really bring anything special besides, like, actual center size and average athleticism, which ultimately isn't going to matter much if they play the Cavs or the Rockets? Like,
yeah, no, that I really didn't even, like, think of that really when I saw it, because I was just like, oh, they just released Omri Caspi, whatever. But, like, I totally forgot they had Damian Jones on the team still.
Yeah, that kind of irked me a little bit just because.
Yeah, also it was like came out too that Omri Caspi turned down a more lucrative deal from Brooklyn to go try and win a ring with the Warriors, and then they release him.
They cut him.
Wait, Alex Len just took a three.
Oh, beast.
Like, with a couple seconds left on the shot, like, there were passes to be made.
Doesn't he shoot threes?
He shoots a couple.
I feel like he's shot more threes.
I've never actually seen him take one before. So that baffled me.
I feel like I've seen him do that before.
He has Alex Len we're talking about?
Yeah.
He has shot two threes this year. So, I would say no. But remember when he was people were considering him for the number one overall pick that year?
Yeah.
Good times.
To be fair, he was a monster in the post in college. And people thought he was going to be a good defensive center.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't have been worst case scenario first overall pick, though, because the actual one was the worst case scenario. So.
Oh.
Why the hell did he shoot that?
Dude, he just buried an elbow jumper.
I'm like 20 seconds behind you, so I just saw it.
What a beast.
Oh, him and Zaza are having a shootout now. Let's go.
Man, what a game.
All right, well, do we have anything else we want to talk about?
Nothing really.
Nothing really? What about you, Greg? Anything else you want to talk about? What about you, Marshall? Anything else you want to talk about?
Maybe a trick bracket.
We'll have to – hey, we're waiting for our guest, man. We're going to have to do this –
Call him up. What are you happening? He just like
because he just never.
Yeah, he never said he's home yet. Is he home? I'm assuming. He is.
I don't know.
I mean, we could just do it Tuesday or something. Yeah. Unless you guys want to
check Fortnite. I bet he's played Fortnite.
I mean, I'm pretty out on doing it tonight. So because I got
it's already 10:30.
Sleeping to do. So, but
I'm gonna go see a movie. I think it's probably my play.
Are you gonna go see A Quiet Place?
I think so. I was checking. They have it at 10:30 and 11:15. Work's going to be awful tomorrow, but it might be worth it. I don't know.
Hey, Marshall, did you see that Ready Player One has good reviews? You said it was going to be bad.
I don't know, dude. I talked to some of my friends when I saw it. They said it was terrible.
Really?
So,
is that like something that we would even get, though? Like, I feel like you have to be like older to get those references.
I don't know. I've watched
like
a bunch 90s of that.
Or something, 80s?
I've watched a bunch of that stuff because I like watching the older stuff too. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I've only seen 4 movies though this year so far.
Anyway. I haven't seen like any movies in the theater.
Wrap
this
it
year.
Up.
Yeah.
I just like take a break after the Oscars. Yeah. You know, I just binge out a bunch of movies in like January and February, and then just like don't watch movies for like 5 months.
I did watch. I watched Wind River a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I watched
that
too.
That was
good,
actually. Dude. It was
pretty good.
That was really good. I liked it a lot. The dude who wrote it.
Yeah, it was unexpected.
The dude who wrote it and directed, he also wrote Sicario and Hell or High Water. I don't know if you've seen those.
Yeah. Those are both really
Sicario 2 comes out this year.
Yeah.
I saw a trailer for it when I would see
it. There's a second one.
What's it
Soldado
called?
Soldado or something like that?
Soldado. That's it.
I don't know. But I'm I'm 7 movies in to my Marvel rewatching too. So,
ooh,
I'm on.
Are you watching all 18?
Yeah, I'm on. The next one I have to watch is Thor: The Dark World, which is easily the worst one left. Ooh. So,
you're not doing like the marathon or whatever? Aren't they showing the marathon?
No, they don't have it at the one that I'm going. Oh, yeah, really? They didn't do one for
it. Wait, what's the marathon? Is that like how many hours?
They're doing. No, it's like 35
it's 35 hours.
Yeah,
they're, but,
yeah, they're doing all 18 and then Infinity War.
Well, right after. I did one before Civil War.
But that was just 5, right?
It was 5. It was Captain America, the First Avenger, and then it was The Avengers, then it was Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and then it was Avengers: Age of Ultron, and then they showed Civil War. Legitimately got to the movie theater at like 7:30 in the morning. So
that's something you could do in a day, though. Like the 35-hour one is like you need to.
Oh, you need to go back.
Yeah, like, take time off from work, dude. What?
well, you need to like figure out when you're gonna like take.
When you're gonna sleep? Yeah.
Yeah, you need to be like, all right, what am I sleeping?
What am I
like,
eating?
Which movies are the worst? Yeah.
So you obviously just eat in there.
I mean, it's pretty obvious you take a nap.
Go to the bathroom.
The Incredible Hulk, because that movie wasn't any good. And then
Thor: The Dark World.
And Thor 1 and Thor: The Dark World.
That's true.
You can watch. You can sleep through both of them. You can take a nap through Iron Man 3, honestly.
Hey,
that one was all right. I kind of liked it, too. But wasn't my favorite. Yeah. Iron Man 1 is actually...
What's your favorite one so far?
Of the favorite rewatch? One I've... On the rewatch so far is either Iron Man or The Avengers.
Yeah.
Like I said, all I've Those watched...
Man, it's been so long.
All I've watched is Captain America, The First Avenger, Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, The Avengers, and Iron Man 3. So...
Okay. You didn't get the good ones yet.
No, you see, I have to get through Thor: The Dark World, and then I get Winter Soldier... The Guardians of the Galaxies back to back, then Avengers: Age of Ultron's all right, and then I get Ant-Man, Civil War, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Thor: Ragnarok. So it gets good after I get through Thor: The Dark World. But
I still haven't seen Doctor
Tony,
Strange.
Tony, have you ever seen Legion?
I watched like the first episode of it, and then I kind of forgot to keep watching it. But I've heard it's very good.
I did the same thing.
It's very good.
My friends and I watched the first episode of season 2 last night. What the fuck? That show's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
That's probably the strangest show I've seen outside of. It's right up there with Twin Peaks. Those are the two weirdest shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's how I thought the first episode was too. It was super weird. I like didn't know what was going on.
Dude, I watched the first episode of season 2, so I didn't have any of the context from like season 1.
And wait, you didn't even watch season 1?
It was so weird. I don't even know. I feel like I need to take some like hard drugs and watch all of it.
All
right. Although I'd be freaking out, probably.
Well, hold on one second. Let me actually close the show, and then we can start talking about this again, because I actually never gave the outro. So.
Oh, cool.
Alrighty. Well, this was the Deceptively Athletic Podcast. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Do all that fun stuff. For Mark Schakowsky, Greg Stefanik, and Marshall Hartman, I'm Tony Romello. Thanks. Peace.
Peace. Deuces. Peace.